to remain indoors. Now, meanwhile, the Construction Industry Federation is preparing its members for a gradual and staged return to work after the 5th of May. Their Director General is Tom Parlin. He's on the line now. Tom Parlin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sean.
How realistic is it to think or expect that building sites will reopen quickly enough after the 5th of May?
Well, I suppose we'll have to wait for the health professionals to make that call. It will be their call. But I think we have an obligation on behalf of our members and the workers to be prepared. We have put together a best practice standard operating procedure that is very, very comprehensive, and it lays out all of the issues that would apply on site about traveling to work, on work, the social distancing, the sanitation, and so on. And it's a very extensive, comprehensive document. And also, we have put together an induction program that every worker who will go back to work whenever the government decide we should go back to work, they will appreciate that they're going back to an entirely different workplace than they did previously, and fall in line with all of the new arrangements.
I suppose people might remember, Tom, the last time you and I talked in this programme, you were arguing that there was no need for construction sites to close down by and large, that there were safety procedures in place. Now, that obviously all changed with Leo Varadkar on that Friday the 29th, I think was the broadcast, or thereabouts, maybe the 26th, saying everybody should stay at home, and then building effectively came to a shuddering halt. So what is going to be different about the way building sites are run and conducted from this safety point of view after you're allowed to reopen?
Well, of course, in the government's guidance, it did allow essential activity, and it referred in particular to the pharma, the medtech, the IT, data centres, cyber, mainly the big FDI companies that are part of a global supply chain that would be important for the global fight against COVID-19. So a lot of them continue to operate, and they will now be operating under this new standard operating procedures. And likewise, there is essential work and emergency work being done and carrying on, you know, nearly on a 24/7 basis for particular jobs for the HSE in terms of expanding their activity.
I know, but for instance, I mean, the work stopped on the building of the National Children's Hospital. Now, if that were to resume, would it be subject to the kind of standard operating procedures that your document suggests? In other words, for instance, staggered shift times?
Yeah, well, we're suggesting that every operation, in order to comply, because obviously the HSE have set out the guidelines, and the biggest one, I suppose, and the most challenging one is social distancing. And I even understand, I know there's talk about Denmark, kids going back to school, they have to social distance. So I think if infant kids in a school in Denmark can abide by social distancing, you know, that's a discipline that we have to apply on building sites. It is going to make it more difficult. And the staggered starts was that you would have two different work periods. One would start early, and that it meant you only had to have a half the workforce on site at any one time. But as you said yourself at the outset, it's for an orderly and staged return. And I think it's up to the industry to prove that we can do it safely. And we're very determined that safety will be the most, it will be the common denominator, and it will be the biggest factor.
And you mentioned at the outset there about you know, procedures for travelling to and from work. Now, it's a well-established practice, and no reason why it should have been otherwise, that people oftentimes would be, you know, they'd pick up an apprentice or they'd pick up a colleague, maybe if they're driving 20 or 30 miles to a site, you know, typically, say, coming up from Wicklow to a site in Dublin or elsewhere. So what's the advice now, Tom?
Well, the advice now is, and it's laid out in a particular part of the SOP, is that where a vehicle only has room for two people, that you can only have one person. And obviously, they must be staggered. And, you know, there would be a maximum people per person, but you have to respect the social distancing, even in the vehicles on your way to work.
Yeah, and what about, for instance, canteens on particularly some of the larger sites? What's the advice there?
Absolutely the very same. And this is where, you know, a lot of effort was made previously before the lockdown to have that facility that you would have extended canteens and extended changing rooms and drying rooms and so on. And unfortunately, you know, people didn't really take it as seriously as it should be now. I think that culture has changed a lot now. But every aspect of a site, whether it be the access, whether it be the canteen, whether it be the changing rooms or the drying rooms, the social distancing, the 2-meter rule has to apply.
And what about toilet facilities?
Well, likewise, and one of the things that we're in regular discussion with government and government departments, and one of the things we're saying, obviously sites will need quite a bit of preparation and quite a bit of investment in terms of putting in the new facilities, whether it be toilets or whether it be signage or sanitization or welfare stations or whatever. So sites are going to be different places, need quite a bit of investment and so on, and we're saying that that we should try and get access to sites maybe in advance of whenever we will be allowed to open and have the sites prepared for when we do open.
Would you accept that you must have had something of a rude awakening on all of this? Because again, you were arguing strongly for the status quo when you were last on, and then we had floods of phone calls to this program, Liveline and others, from construction workers and their families, afraid that they were going to bring the virus home because there was a lack of social distancing and proper regard for the safety precautions.
And I suppose that's going to be the challenge as we go forward, Sean, as well. Workers are going to have to be comfortable to go back to work. And comfortable that they are not, that it's not going to be a threat to their own health, that it's not going to be a threat to the public health, and it's not going to be a threat to their families when they come home. So that's, I think, if you get a chance, maybe you look at the document that we're doing. It is absolutely comprehensive. It's been passed by some of the top leading health and safety people globally, and it's going to be challenging to do it. But we are saying unless the site can comply with the very strict SOPs, they shouldn't open.
Right. What do you think generally is going to happen to the construction industry with the way people have discovered they can actually work, from home? There's talk now of the new program from government advising maybe 20% of people in the public sector should be able to work from home next year. Is there going to be a reduction in demand, for instance, for office space?
Well, I'd say so. I mean, even in construction, clearly a lot of the management people, a lot of the design people and so on, and administrative people could work from home. But clearly, you know, if you're building a house, the block layers have to be on site, the plasters, all of that. If you're building a motorway or a roadway or building a data center, the people have to be there. So, you know, a lot of the projects that are current, and I suppose some lend themselves readily, like house building and even social housing that's badly needed. You know, I'd hope that we'd see some breakthrough there, that houses that are close to being finished would allow them to be finished off soon because they're needed. Civil engineering projects, if you're building a bridge or building a motorway and it's largely machines and operators and so on at a distance, they lend themselves to a safe working place. And likewise, the big FDI, who already have the most stringent safety sort of procedures globally in place, they're adapting and they will take on board our SOP and will have very safe environments as well.
Right. Now, clearly there's a statement of good intent in this new document, and you're saying things will be different, but what kind of monitoring would be in place to guarantee that sites follow the rules? I mean, who will do the inspecting?
Well, I suppose, first of all, there's a responsibility on the client and on the contractor. Contractors will appoint COVID wardens that will make sure that this is happening. And clearly, and this is part of the discussion we've been having with government now, if they want to put some other bodies in charge to observe or to monitor or whatever, certainly we're well open to that, absolutely.
I see a text here from one of our listeners about construction. The building of holiday homes in the west of Ireland must be deemed essential because there are two sites within 2 kilometres of my home on which work has continued unabated throughout.
Well, look, I can't comment on that. I'd say the vast bulk of construction workers are sitting at home following the advice of the HSC. All the major sites are closed down, and that would be a rarity now to have that sort of work actually happening.
Okay, Tom Parlin, Director General of the Construction Industry Federation, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Today.